these Vedic scriptures were written 5,000 years ago. But by oral tradition, they are coming since the time of creation many millions of years ago. In the Vedic scriptures, there are predictions for the present age. The present age is known as the age of Kali or the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. There are many symptoms of the age of Kali mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the foremost Vedic scripture. Such as Dampatye Bhiruchir Hetur. People will get married simply on the basis of sex attraction, and then when they're fed up with each other, they'll get divorced. Prajaste Bhakshishyanti Machara Janyarupina. That the kings or the leaders of society who are supposed to protect the citizens will instead exploit them and devour them. Lavanyam Kesha Dharanam. People will think themselves very beautiful by keeping fancy hairstyles. Vipratve Sutramevahi. Someone will be accepted as a priest or a saintly person simply by his dress. In other words, if someone has the dress and title of a religious leader, he will be accepted as such even if he doesn't have any saintly qualities. So the basic atmosphere is one of distrust, cheating, quarrel and hypocrisy. The Vedic literatures mention that every person in the material world, except those very few people who are spiritually perfect, have four basic defects. Brahm pramad vipralipsa karana patav. This means everyone makes mistakes. Everyone is in illusion. Everyone has the cheating propensity, the propensity to cheat others. And everyone has imperfect senses. All these symptoms are very prominent in Kali Yuga, especially the cheating propensity. There are many examples of this. For instance, Coca-Cola. How has Coca-Cola become such a big business all over the world? If we examine Coca-Cola, it's some water with chemicals, sugar, and bubbles. And it doesn't taste particularly wonderful. But due to the advertising industry, people are eager to buy Coca-Cola. It is advertised that if you buy this, then you'll be joyful and happy. If there was no advertising, no one would ever buy a Coca-Cola. Why should they spend money just for some chemicals and sugar? But this whole advertising industry, they're promoting buy this, buy that. Now in Russia also it has come, consumer society. They're just cheating you that if you buy this, then you will be happy. But it's not a fact. We never saw anyone drink Coca-Cola and all of a sudden they become full of ecstasy. It doesn't happen. Like this, they're advertising so many things, just like cigarettes. What is the benefit of smoking cigarettes? The benefit is you're likely to get lung cancer. But they advertise that if you smoke this, you'll be very masculine, or women will be attracted to you. Most items are advertised by showing some beautiful woman. So you think, I'll smoke this cigarette and the beautiful woman will come. But so this is an example of how mass cheating is going on. In politics also, the politicians promise so many things. But what they say, we will act for the benefit of the people. But everyone knows that the people who will want to benefit are themselves and their own family members. In education, so there's some... But they teach science that man has descended from monkeys. This is science. If it was science, then they should take some monkeys and transmit it and produce human beings. There are millions of monkeys all over the world, and there are millions of monkeys being born, and not the monkeys even slightly resemble the human being. But by teaching it, it's a very important scientific fact that man is descended from monkeys. Recently, I was at a scientific conference in India, and I met one professor who travels around the world. I showed him one of the books of the society. He asked, what is this about? I said that this book challenges the Darwinian evolutionary theory. We do not accept this. So he laughed and he said that, yes, we all know this is not true. So then I asked, then why are you still teaching it in the school? He said, well, we didn't come up with any other theory yet. So even in the field of religion, which is supposed to be most sacred, cheating is also going on. The monks call religion the opiate of the people. And actually, the misuse of religion has to be a prominent factor in society. My mother's family comes from Northern Ireland, where, as you know, Catholics and Protestants have been fighting each other for almost 30 years now. When I was a child, they used to teach in the Protestant schools that if you believe in the Virgin Mary, you go to hell. And in the Catholic schools, they taught that if you don't believe in the Virgin Mary, you go to hell. So sometimes I'm asked, well, who's right? I say neither of them, they're both wrong. Lord Jesus Christ didn't come into this world to make Catholics and Protestants to fight with each other. Recently I was in America, and I saw in Atlanta, the biggest church is called the Prosperity Church. It's become very popular just in the last 3 or 4 years. The idea is that you go there and you pray to God for money. And people, they come up to the front and they say that I had so many debts and so many money problems, and now I drive a BMW to church. God bless us all. Hallelujah. So some people are questioning, is this really what Jesus taught? Lord Jesus Christ, who taught that you cannot love God and love mammon. But it appears that people don't really care what Jesus taught. People take God as an order supplier. That I will go to God with a shopping list. My dear God, I need this and I need that, and you're God, so you must give it to me. So that may be better than being a gross atheist, but it is not what the great teachers of religion came to give us. Of course, in different religious systems around the world, there have been such teachings, that you pray to God and He will give you your daily bread and so many things. But the highest teachings of religion, and that which is aimed at within the specifically end up within the Vedic literatures, and is especially taught in this Krishna consciousness movement, is selfless love of God. It's all right, you can go to God, give me this, give me that. At least that's recognizing Him. But it's not really love. We'll find, generally a person who has a lot of money has a lot of friends. And when he loses his money, he loses his friends also. Because people, they love him, so-called, and they flatter him for his money. They want to take some advantage of him. So similarly, those who approach God simply for some material advantage, that cannot really be called true love of God. Real love is that in which the lover wants to give to the other person, not take. The highest kind of love in the material world is that of a mother for her child, because the mother simply wants to help the child unconditionally. Even if the child passes stool all over her, she still loves the child. She doesn't reject the child for that. Of course, in the modern age, we find that mothers have become so cruel that the child who has taken shelter in her womb, they will abort also. This is Kali Yuga. But that example is there, mother's love, that just gives some indication of the kind of love that is there in pure love of God, in which a devotee of God or Krishna is simply attracted to Krishna for His wonderful transcendental qualities. God is all-powerful, no doubt, but He is also all-kind, all-beautiful. His personality is the most sweet and attractive. So a devotee is very much attracted to the transcendental qualities of Krishna, and he simply wants to serve Krishna without any personal recompense. There is a nice prayer by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai. This means he is praying, my dear Lord, I am not praying to you for money. I am not praying that I will become very powerful and famous. I am not praying for beautiful women. I am not praying for any kind of facility that is available within this material world. I am not even praying for liberation from the terrible cycle of repeated birth and death. I am simply praying that I may serve you without any personal desire, life after life. Again, Lord Chaitanya prays, Aslisya va padaratam pinashtumam adarshanam namahatam karotu va yata tata va vidatatu lampato mat prananathas tu sa evanapara. That my dear Krishna, you may make me very happy by embracing me. Or you may make me broken-hearted by not being present before me. You may treat me in any way you like, but you are always my worshipable Lord unconditionally. So this is the highest standard of religion, beyond any personal sense desire. This kind of selflessness before God can actually bring peace in human society. There is no doubt that despite so much technological progress, human society at the present time is morally and ethically in the darkest of ignorance. There is need of a clue how human society can get on the right course. The Krishna conscious movement suggests that human society has lost its focus because we are simply interested in material gain. Therefore, we are envious of each other and we simply try to exploit each other. There is a need of real religion in society. Real religion doesn't mean simply to use religion as a moral stopgap, just as a moral principle to regulate human society. But human society should be directed towards the goal of actual spiritual advancement, actual love of God. Then only can we be satisfied individually. Then only can there be peace in human society. Then only can we be relieved of the absurdities of modern society. So obviously this is a very big subject which could be discussed at much greater length. But our time is limited and I'd like to take any questions now if there are any.
Do we have books? We don't have books here. Bring them.
What's the difference? So what work perform devotees in Russia? Is there any differences between what devotees are doing in Russia, in America and in other countries?
Well, basically we're doing the same thing. The principles followed in our movement are the same throughout the world. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement, they follow certain principles, the most important of which are no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. To chant the names of Krishna, apart from this singing with instruments together, as you have witnessed, we also have prayer beads. These are our prayer beads like this, on which we chant the names of Krishna. We also study the Vedic literatures and engage in various activities to spread this knowledge to others for the benefit of human society. Read this question. Read it first in Russian.
What do you know about American society? So-called American society in the state of Montana. Elizabeth Red Prophet.
I've never heard of this society. I'm sorry, I'm not an encyclopedia. Did you say that? I'm not an encyclopedia? Say, I'm sorry, I'm not an encyclopedia. I don't know. This gentleman has a question.
Actually, there are two questions. The first one, what's your attitude towards this Redic society?
Towards what?
Towards Redic society. You
don't. Which society?
Redic, this man, painter, who went in India. I told you one of his books. But, and this.
Yeah, the second, well, the first answer is that I you know, there are hundreds and thousands of organizations in the world. There's another one I've never heard of. At least in my experience, I've never come across it. Answer that first.
And the second question is, what's the situation in India? Are there also many sects like Orthodox, Catholics, Protestants? What's the situation?
Yes, in India there are many supposed to be religious denominations. This Krishna consciousness that's also divided into various denominations, the organization. Yeah. That means in the course of history, various great teachers have taught Krishna consciousness with some slight variations. For instance, some great teachers who have many followers, they have emphasized very strictly following rules and regulations, and others have stressed more on spontaneous love of God. Some have emphasized worship of Krishna as the supreme lover, and some have emphasized worship of Krishna like paternal love. That means taking God, worshipping Him as if He is your own son. So there are varieties, but the essence is one, and that is to serve Krishna. Please.
Have you ever met Satya Sai Baba? What's your attitude towards him?
No, I've never met him. We are not very happy with him. We don't like him because he claims to be God. He is not God. About 2 years ago in India, it came in a magazine that there are over 300 people at the present time claiming to be God. Some are well known and others are not. God means He who creates, maintains and destroys millions of universes with a tiny fraction of His energy. People who do not know what is the meaning of God, they very easily accept people cheaply as God. This is another symptom of the cheating of the modern age. One of the qualities of God is that He is the supreme beautiful. He is the source of all beauty and the reservoir of all beauty. So on this basis alone, Sai Baba is disqualified. God does not become God by votes. If 10,000 people stand up and say, we vote this person is God, it doesn't make him God. People do not have systematic knowledge of God.
Where are these books?
Therefore they are easily cheated.
Have you ever heard about this Mahista?
Baha'i.
Baha'i. Yeah. She says that it's a synthesis of four religions, and maybe it is the future of religions because they're trying to.
Actually, there are not four religions. There is only one true religion in the world. That is to know God and to surrender to Him. So that may be expressed in different times, places, and countries according to the mentality of the worshippers. But God is one person. It's not that there's one God of Islam and another God of Christianity and another God of Hinduism. And that if someone starts, they register a new church, then a new God will pop up. God is one person, one transcendental entity, the supreme absolute truth. And He has revealed Himself in various degrees through these scriptures of the world. So we cannot actually understand God by our own mental prevarications. We have to understand Him as He presents Himself through scripture. So there may be many different groups, but we should see what is the essence. Any attempt to understand God in truth is welcome. But instead of making group consciousness that I'm in this group and someone else is in another group, we should see who is God and what does He want of us. Understanding that God is not the property of any particular group. God doesn't live particularly in a mosque or a temple or a church. But He, of course, He's everywhere, but He especially manifests Himself in the hearts of those who are dedicated to Him. So I was talking about the Vedic literatures that this movement is based upon. Maybe some of you would be interested to take some of these books. Later on you can have a look. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is the most famous book and the most widely presented book of Krishna consciousness. This book is called The Nectar of Devotion, which describes who is God and how we can approach Him. Which book is this? Krishna? This is Krishna, which describes the fastidious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pastimes. I think our time is up. Who's the monitor here? Shall we take this gentleman's question, because this lady already took one question.
What's your attitude toward healers and astrologers? Because Orthodox Church doesn't treat them nicely.
Well, Jesus was a healer. This lady?
I've heard that some discrepancies in prayers, they're not so good, are not allowed. But there are also prayers.
Discrepancies in prayers?
Yes.
Oh, like praying for give me money and this and that.
Well, she explains further on. For example, when you there are two kinds of prayers. When the prayer is coming from your heart, means you pray with your own words, and then you just repeat some traditional prayer. And which prayer do you use?
The most important prayers are those which are given by self-realized souls, because God is so great. And we are also contaminated by our material desires, so we don't really know how to pray to Him properly. So in the beginning stages of God consciousness, it is better to be trained how to pray. Otherwise, our tendency is to pray, give me money, stop my next door neighbor disturbing me, and all these kind of things. So the prayers of great devotees train us how to pray, and their prayers are also full of feeling. So even though they may be called formal prayers, they should not be recited formally, but with feeling. I think we're running over time here, so we should stop here. So, right. So I'm sorry, but we're on a time limit here. There's a break at 12 o'clock, is it? So at that time our devotees will be distributing some sacred food offered to Krishna, and at that time we can discuss more informally. To translate, that time we can discuss more informally. But I think we should follow the format here and allow the next speaker to come. So thank you very much.